Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome back one of my favorite people who has the cutest New York accent ever. That's my opinion, of course, Carrie Gans. We'll link this up in the show notes. If you have had a chance to listen to my first interview with Carrie, I met her at a business event several years ago in New York, and she is a registered dietitian, best-selling author. She has a fantastic book, and we'll link up to her book as well in the show notes. So her first interview was more along the food lines and nutrition lines. And as with many, when I met her, there's a lot of people that get very intimidated by the idea of meeting or talking with a registered dietitian or a nutritionist. But Carrie's so down to earth, and so many of the dietitians and nutritionists that I have met, it's been a pleasant surprise for me to see how not rigid they are about eating for health and how down to earth most of them are. And I think that's fantastic. So we certainly want to have a lot of those folks on the show, but I wanted to have Carrie back because since I've met her, she had become not only someone who found yoga and found yoga to be incredibly beneficial in her own life, but she went ahead and got her yoga certification and has become a yoga teacher. And so I asked her back on the show really just to share that experience, because for those of us or for those of you listening who have yet to try yoga, and are interested, I think that having real stories like this can be quite helpful. And so I think that you will enjoy hearing from her. I think you'll also enjoy the fact that she says, like several other guests we've interviewed recently, her goal is not to convince everyone that everyone should be doing yoga. It's not that kind of an interview. But for those people who are interested and think it might be for them, this can share the types of benefits and the types of experience to expect and how to proceed. So sit back, grab a relaxing chai tea latte or a coffee, and enjoy this interview with Carrie Gans. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and I am grinning ear to ear because I have one of my favorite fabulous females on the show today, Miss Carrie Gans, who is back for a repeat performance. We're talking yoga today. Carrie, welcome to the show.
So glad to be here.
I still remember first hanging out with you in New York. I love your voice. I love your accent. I love your attitude. This is going to be a really good show.
Wait a second. I have an accent?
It's perfect.
Oh my God. Don't tell my mother. She hates when I sound like a New Yorker. Okay.
Oh my God. It's so cute. It really is. And Carrie, we're talking about yoga today, and she's not only started doing yoga, but has become, how do I say that, Carrie? Is it a trainer, a trainer in yoga or an instructor?
No, it's a certified, became a certified yoga teacher.
Okay. So, but this is a yoga teacher who does not love kale. And does not meditate.
I know. Shocker. And now all people are stopping. They're not going to listen to this podcast anymore. They're going to be like, how could we listen to a yoga teacher who doesn't like to meditate? Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying that I will never meditate. I mean, maybe I won't. But it just for now, I find meditation in other ways. And I think that's the beauty of yoga. And I know we're going to talk a lot about it. But it can mean different things to different people. And I don't like preachy yoga teachers. So I try not to be one. And I try to encourage my students to do what works for them. As I always say when I'm starting a class, I'm here to guide you. That's all. Our bodies are not the same. Everybody's different. You have to listen to yourself. And that's who your real teacher is yourself.
To me, you're just illustrating exactly what the big theme that we are trying to drive home on Fitfluential and Fitfluential Radio in particular, which is
you know, we are Fitness Found. We're here to help you find your fitness. And I love that you had said that when we were chatting before, you know, what works for me doesn't work for everybody. And you know, we're not doing this show to convince everybody to do yoga, but to kind of break down some of the myths and misperceptions that are out there about yoga, because for some of you, it can end up being fantastic. I know for me, I was that girl for years that, you know, let me be real. Once I saw that Madonna was doing yoga, and I always looked up to her body as the most legit fitness person. So I'm like, Madonna's doing yoga, I should do yoga.
You're like, I want those arms. I want those arms, right?
It's embarrassing, but that was what, and I tried. I bought DVDs, I bought books. So this was like 15 years ago. I wanted to get into yoga, and every time I tried it, it was like eating, I don't know, soggy rice. I just was like, ugh. And years later, when I finally went to a class in Chicago at Tribalance Yoga, it was a hot yoga class, and it changed everything for me. And so for me, when I have yoga in my life, it calms me down. It does amazing things for my body. But, you know, there's so many people that are kind of like I was, who maybe have tried something or they've experienced and they have that soggy rice feeling. And that's why we're talking to a lot of different folks on the show about yoga, really to just break it down and say, okay, here's what it's done for a lot of other lives, and here's what it can do for you. And then here's how to make it accessible, because it doesn't necessarily have to be that you go to a studio. There's lots of options for you. And it also doesn't have to be, like I thought, a 2-hour endeavor. But let's first start before we, I'm getting way ahead of myself. And I, again, by the way, everybody listening, the reason I brought that up, that Carrie and I were chatting before the show, and she said she doesn't eat kale and she doesn't meditate, is those are some of the misconceptions people have that aren't doing yoga. They think everyone that does yoga is vegan. Everyone is a hippie. Everyone doesn't wear deodorant. Everybody eats only kale and plain rice and water, and they meditate all day and chant. And it's like Woodstock.
And that's okay. You know, those people are doing what they enjoy. Most of my yoga friends, we joke, what we love to do is we love to take a yoga class, and then we like to go out for cocktails. Okay, we are modern day yogis. So we feel we're listening to our bodies overall. And that can mean many different things. And for us, I mean, a vegan lifestyle might be suited for some. But it doesn't have to be for everyone. And there's also, like you were saying, you know, like a 2-hour class, okay? Very daunting. It doesn't have to be. There's so many different types of yoga. I love to tell the story of my first yoga class. I had decided I was going to do yoga. We're going to, not talking about when I was younger. I mean, I did yoga like in high school with my mom, but that doesn't count because all I did was laugh and I couldn't take anything seriously. I mean, I was a teenager, and my mother wanted me to try yoga, so of course I was going to rebel. As an adult, I decided to take a yoga class, and I came back from that class and I said to my husband, I can't do this. I can't believe how hard it is. It's not what I thought. I was like, I don't like it. But for some reason, I went back. Ended up finding, because just like with anything, there's different teachers. There's different types of yoga. So I ended up finding different teachers that really inspired me. And then the rest is history. But if I had just after that first class said, no, 20 years later, I wouldn't still be doing yoga.
It's pretty incredible. And back to, I do have to point out one of the other things that you said, which is, you know, you talked about listening to your body, and really that can apply not just with yoga or what workout you try. It's what we want to encourage people to do, which is find your fitness means figure out what you like, what you love, what sets you on fire, right? What you become addicted to. And then furthermore, the next step is be comfortable in that. You know, what I love is that it doesn't seem in this day and age, and I couldn't say that 2 or 3 years ago, people aren't labeling themselves like they used to. It used to be people would go, I'm CrossFit and I'm paleo and everybody else is an idiot. Or, you know,
I don't know. I still hear that.
That's very true.
Still hearing that a little bit, but yeah,
you hear less. Remember when CrossFit first came out? And again, I've opened my mind with a trainer I was working with here in Austin. I mean, I would say I was at Gold's Gym. It wasn't a CrossFit gym, but it was the training he did with me was all the stuff I used to see CrossFitters do. And I'd roll my eyes and go, oh my God, I look so dumb. And guess what? I did it and I really loved it. And I'm humble enough to say, okay, I'm expanding my horizons. But right. we used to have so many folks that were in the CrossFit space. And I remember this about four years ago. And you would always see things on Pinterest. And Carrie, I know you've seen this, where it would go, I thought I was working out until I tried CrossFit. And then there were all these things on Pinterest about no other workout is really working out unless you do CrossFit. It's like, burpees have been around for a long time. Come on.
Exactly. No, it's frustrating when you see that. What I hear a lot with people with yoga is just getting them to begin, because a lot of people will be intimidated before they even step into a studio. And they'll be like, I'm not flexible. Okay. And then usually my response to that is, well, maybe that's a reason for you to try yoga. Because think about it. We are born with such flexibility. I mean, take a look at babies, toddlers. I mean, they can easily put their foot behind their head. All right. So somewhere along the line, we've become inflexible. We're born flexible. And I'm not saying that yoga, the goal shouldn't be about putting your foot behind your head, because it shouldn't be, even though I do like to, but it shouldn't be about putting your foot behind your head. It should be about moving your body. And if you're saying, hey, I can't touch my toes, so that's a reason not to do yoga, it's quite the opposite. It's the reason to do yoga, is to try to be able to touch your toes. And here's another word I like to repeat. I said the word try. Yoga is constantly trying something further. Even at an advanced level, there's still more that you can do. I mean, I look at some yogis on Instagram and I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to do that. Ever. I'm never going to have that strength. And then I have to say, but that's okay, because look at what I can do and what I try to do. And it's really about, you know, not comparing what you can do compared to others. It's what you can do that maybe you couldn't do the day before. And that to me is the beauty of yoga.
Yeah. I used to think that I only got this from yoga, but now, especially the past year, again, referencing when I started working with this trainer at Gold's, he was so focused on mobility with me and looking at my form and telling me how wrong I was doing things and whatever. But the more that I started to focus on mobility and my form and do, you know, branching outside of my comfort zone and not just doing the isolation training I'd done before, I was able to progress. And at first it was so intimidating. And I think this can happen in yoga as well. You go in and you're like, wow, you know, and you think that you have to be like everybody else. You think you have to be flexible and leave and be able to just go all over the place with your body. And that's not true at all. Every yoga class I've ever been to, I would say at least a third of the class is true beginners, and nobody makes them feel embarrassed. It's a welcoming community. But what I've found awesome is not only within a yoga class, but also within my gym class, meaning working with my trainer, if you really start treating your body like the temple that it is and like it has the potential that it does, and you take your training seriously and you take safety seriously, you'll be amazed at the progress you can make if you give it time. Because, you know, I had to convince myself, okay, I'm going to start with this trainer. We're not doing any of the fun stuff I want to do. But 30 days later, I could get so much lower in a squat and my knees weren't hurting me like they were, because I was patient and because I listened. So just to what you said, if you have the right attitude, you'll realize that there's always progress to be made. And the more you can change your attitude about your body, like, wow, look at this remarkable machine I have. Let me see what I can do with it and how I can treat it better. Your whole world opens up versus, oh my God, I have to lose weight. Let me just go get on the treadmill and punish myself.
So true. I mean, I tell people it's a journey. Concentrate on the journey. It's not, this is where I'm starting and this is where I must end up. Part of yoga is the journey of getting from one place to another place. And even when you're practicing, I tell my students, the transition throughout poses is just as important as the pose. It's the getting into that zen. It's the movement. It's aligning your body properly. It's feeling good in your body. And then who knows where that will take you? I mean, that's the thing. And where it might take you is different where it might take somebody else. And that's why we always say, don't look at anyone else's mat. I mean, it's hard not to. I mean, when you're practicing your mat to mat with people, you kind of like to glance. I mean, sometimes it could be totally inspirational. But you really just need to focus on what's feeling good in your own body and leave it at that and not try to push yourself too hard. The last thing you want to do is wind up injured. And on that note, how many people complain, oh, I was doing yoga and I got injured and that's why I don't do it. Well, maybe you got injured because you weren't listening to your body. You were listening too much to your own ego. Mm. And that was what was moving you through your practice, but you weren't listening to your body.
I think that I've certainly heard things like that. I've heard people say, oh, I don't go to chiropractors because I went to one and, you know, I wasn't fixed in one day. Really? I mean, seriously? Like,
right. Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, these things, like you were just saying, which I love, when we talk about our body, you know, our bodies are incredible machines and we need to honor that. I really feel like that's one of the reasons when I do yoga, I'm amazed at what my body can do. Once again, and I know I'm repeating this, but what my body can do might be different than what somebody else's body can do, but that can be incredible for them. Every one of us can find our own incredibleness. I don't even know if that's a word, but we can each find it in ourselves. And that's also taking yoga off the mat. See, the idea of yoga, I mean, sure, it's something that's, hey, and I'm guilty of it. I love handstands. I love arm balances. I happen to like a little bit of a hardcore class, okay? But what I also try to focus on is taking yoga off my mat. And that's with being more patient with others. It's being kind. Yoga, the physical practice, is only one part of yoga. And a lot of the yogis from way back, probably if they see where yoga has gone in today's world, might be a little discouraged, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think that yoga, it probably people that have said, oh, they've gotten injured, you know, they probably are trying something at home, don't know how to work into it. I mean, there were times I remember when I tried to do crow pose at home and I didn't really know how to work into it.
Right.
And when you do something really fast, you know, I just remember feeling this sharp twinge in my core because I didn't realize, wow, I'm going to be using my core muscles to get up in here. And it was intense. So then I worked with my friend Kelly and she gave me like baby steps on how to work up to it. But
I actually tell people, Kelly, when they want to do, I mean, hey, videos are great. Okay. But it's kind of hard as a beginner, unless you find a really good video, to teach yourself yoga at home. So what I always recommend is trying to at least take a beginner class or two just at the beginning. Then move that to a home practice, if you like, with the videos. There's so many great websites now where you can get online classes. But I think you need to have a base before you even go there. And it doesn't mean that you have to join a studio and go religiously, but just enough to learn the basic poses. Because I think that it sets you up with a better foundation. And I think that that's important to see progress, but to see progress in a healthy way.
Yeah, I firmly agree for myriad reasons. I think that number one, for the safety and for understanding. I mean, for me, when I started going to a yoga class in Chicago, I realized that a lot of the things that I had seen in a video and I thought I was doing right, you know, triangle pose, whatever.
Right.
And when you don't have your hips going the right way because you think, oh, I just bend over and I touch the floor like this. Well, you're actually doing it wrong. And then it won't feel like you're doing anything, but a yoga instructor will come up and that's a big part of classes. And don't get intimidated by this, you guys, but they'll come up and they'll adjust you. And all of a sudden,
my favorite part of class is when people adjust me.
It's literally so, it can be humbling because then you go, oh my God, that's where I'm supposed to feel that along my side. Like, and then they go, you know, reach up top and you're going, well, my hand's up there already, but reach. And then you realize you're stretching, you know, your serratus and all that. And it's overwhelming how suddenly you realize this isn't just, oh, I'm bending over and I'm touching the floor to the side. It's completely
so much more
different.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned triangle, Trikonasana. It's one of my favorite poses. And I just posted a picture of it on Instagram recently. And basically talking about how every time I get into that pose, it feels different.
Mm.
And that's because our bodies feel different every day. And I love exploring that. Because with Trikonasana, as with many poses, there's many different positions that you could possibly be in. Like with triangle, you know, you could have your hand on your shin, your bottom hand. You can have it on a block behind your leg. You can have it, your hand can be touching the floor. If you're doing the Ashtanga version, your hand would be touching your toe. So there's a lot of different variations. And some days it might feel different to do it one way, and another day it might feel different to do it another way. But yes, the one thing we'll agree on is mostly where your hips should be. But there's a lot of different variations in poses and different variations depending upon the origin of the type of yoga you're practicing.
The thing that I started to learn too was this speaks to how everyone is so different. Let me clarify this. When I say everyone is at a different phase, even you can go into a class and there can be somebody who's been practicing yoga for 6 months, maybe even a year and a half. You can get into a pigeon pose, right? And you guys will link up to some of these where you can look them up if you're new. But a pigeon pose, you could have somebody who's been doing yoga for 2 years, and because of their hips or, you know, groin area, that's really difficult for them. And then you could be a relatively new person, and maybe whatever it is, your athletic ability, your fitness background, you might be able to do really well on that pose. And then something as simple as chair pose could just be extraordinarily difficult, or downward dog. So it's not like people will hear a pose and they'll go downward dog and they go, that looks so simple, but then it might be difficult for them. And then something that's really challenging to the person on the mat next to
we're all built differently, and we have different lengths of our arms. Okay. We have different, our hip area. We're all built differently. I love pigeon. Okay. I have very open hips. I always have. I took ballet as a child. Maybe that's mean. I took ballet for years when I was younger. A lot of dancers have very open hips. So certain things might come easier. But also, though, just because things come easier, unless you're doing it thoughtfully, you can end up injuring yourself. Mm. I ended up pulling my hamstring years ago. And I'll tell you, you need an injury to really get your ego in check, okay? Mm-hmm. Because in yoga, once you injure yourself and you have to back off, you really learn a lot about yourself. And I always tell my students, you don't want to injure yourself. So really try to back off before, okay? Yeah. Because yoga, you should feel, but if something's really hurting, you've gone too far.
So true. And that's I think most trainers as well would say that to you in a gym context, right? Like you're not, it's not about no pain, no gain, but I realized I didn't finish my point about the last, it's really going back to, for those of you that are listening that are new to yoga and you're thinking like, I've had too many friends and colleagues that I know that have really said this was great for them, I want to try it. I do recommend going to a class, and it doesn't mean, because I do know that quite a lot of studios, it can seem like, I was looking up some Pilates studios as well. I want to try Pilates in a studio, and it can be very expensive. And so that can sound intimidating, but we're not telling you, not that this doesn't sound dreamy to me, or like, I would love to be able to have the time in my schedule to go to a 2-hour hot yoga class every day. That would be dreamy. I can't do that right now. So for me, you know, going to a studio maybe once a week and then doing my practice at home, that works for me. But I will tell you, the other thing that having a teacher who can instruct you and adjust you will help you is that then if you have a pose where your hips are really tight and, you know, other people are just lying down on the mat and they're bending backwards, you know, and they're laying there and you're like, I can barely get my hands behind me, let alone lean all the way back with my legs bent. They'll show you, here's how you use a prop. Yes. Here's how you can put a pillow back there. Whereas if you were at home, you would try to shove yourself into that pose. And nobody wants to be getting stuck in an awkward yoga pose in your apartment.
No.
With no one else there.
No, exactly. And Kelly, I love that you mentioned props. Props, as I call them, are your friends.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership.
Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
Props. So many people are like, oh, I don't need props. As if using props is something bad. Props are great. I mean, I always, whenever I start a class, I lay out my mat. I have two blocks at the front of my mat and I have a blanket because you know what? You don't know. And blocks can actually help somebody get deeper into a pose or it can be used as a modification. So they go both ways. But I really am a huge fan. Straps also, there's a lot of great things you can say, you know, you can't bind on your own. Okay, a strap can give you the feeling that you're binding without, you know, trying to push yourself too hard. Props, I mean, if you're going to develop a home practice, which I say I get, especially for people who it's really hard to show up somewhere else besides your own home every day, it's difficult. You should definitely have props. Props, you should invest in the money to get a blanket, two blocks, and a strap.
And here's the thing, guys, when you start, and this is what I literally do mean this, guys and gals, a lot of men, and I want to address that as our next question. A lot of men think yoga is like a chick thing. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And men that there are some very jacked athletic men that do yoga. And in fact, we're going to have some of them on the show and they'll tell you it's some of the most humbling, intense work that they've ever done. And it complements whether it's CrossFit or what they do for the NFL or what they're doing in the gym. It's a wonderful compliment. I will tell you this, you'll become so much more aware of your body, your strengths and your weaknesses and your capabilities. And you will want to do things like, okay, I'm going to stretch more at home. I'm going to, you know, work on my tight hamstrings. You become so much more aware of things like your posture. And it bleeds over into all these other areas of your life. And it's really a good thing. I mean, I still remember the first time. I always had a problem because I'm a supinator. So when I stand on my feet, for those of you guys that are not familiar, pronators, I hope I'm articulating this correctly. Pronators, when they're standing, and jump in if I'm saying this incorrectly.
Okay.
So when you pronate, you tend to have like the inside of your foot will like lean in. I'm a supinator, so the outside of my feet, like I tend to, you know, fall over in some of these triangle poses. Why am I going blank? What is the pose when you take, it's like triangle pose, but you lift your back leg up? I know.
An Ardha Chandrasana, half moon.
Yes. I could never do that. And Corey, my instructor, he would always have to move me up against the wall and I'd have to use the prop, right? And I hated it because everyone else in the class was just getting right up into half moon like, you know, a butterfly. And when I finally, after, you know, months and months and months, I finally got up and I'm like, I can do this and I'm not falling over. It happens. It's the best feeling ever. And then you know what? You take that up a notch. And
oh,
then
right. Then you grab your back leg and you go into what's called Trapasana. That's your leg that's up. Then, okay, and meanwhile, all along, you're looking up at the ceiling. Okay, you're not looking straight ahead or down at the ground. So then the next step is then you bend your top leg, Trapasana. Then you take your bottom arm and you lift that into prayer at your heart by still looking up at the ceiling. It's never ending.
And I am going to get Corey on the show and I want to get, you know, I actually have an NFL guy who's coming on the show who he and his kids do yoga too with him. It's
really
ridiculous.
I love when families, I've done it with three generations. It's the coolest. Yeah. I've gone with my niece and my mother.
That's
and the three of us have practiced yoga together and it's pretty incredible. So I love when I hear families do it.
Well, what do you say, because this is very common, When you run into men that are like, well, that's cool, but that's like a chick thing.
Well, it's the same thing. One, they think that they have to be more flexible. But a lot of times I'm like, well, it depends upon the man. Because some men, when they say that, I could say, but just think of the women you'll meet. Okay. So for some, that really does it. But if that's not their goal, the strength. I mean, I've had people look, if you just go on to Instagram and see some of these men and what they can do, It really is. I've never seen strength like it. It's mind blowing. So it's definitely, it's a hard workout, but any man can also, their big thing could be, I'm not flexible, but why? I mean, why shouldn't you get more flexible? Build strength also, yes, but build up your flexibility. I mean, it's important. It's not just for women.
And why would you think that, why would, if you think, whether you're a man or a woman listening who hasn't tried yoga, and again, let me just say, like we said at the beginning of the show, our goal here is to give you a bunch of different perspectives from teachers and from, you know, folks like me that have had their lives and their bodies changed for the positive or for the better with yoga. It might not be for you. You might try a yoga class and go, okay, I did it. But you know what? You should, I'm going to go out and try a spin class. I've never been to a spin class. I've only done spin on a spin bike at home, and I'm going to do it. And I might love it. I might not love it. And I'm finding my fitness. I have found that I really like diversity a lot more than I used to, and really just heavy weights here, light weights here, yoga. Now I want to do Pilates.
It is interesting because some people will say to me, what, you only do yoga? Like as if that's also craziness. You only do yoga? I'm like, yes, that's all I do. And I am very happy with that. And it's not like I haven't tried all these other things. I used to take spinning classes. I used to do rock climbing. I used to do boxing in an actual boxing ring. I mean, name it, I have tried it. And then yoga, it clicked for me. So it might click for someone and it might not click for someone. And then back to the whole idea of there's different types of yoga classes. So if you want to move more slowly, there's those, a type of class like that. You want to move faster, there's a class like that. You want, like Kelly, you're saying you like hot yoga. I don't like hot. I don't want to be in a heated room, okay? Yeah. I mean, not that I want to be in a cold room. Sometimes that is a complaint. They have the rooms too cool. But I don't want to be in a room specifically heated for yoga. I like to build up my own heat. But some people love hot yoga. Some people love Bikram yoga. Some people love Ashtanga yoga. There's so many different types. And I think like the same way you wouldn't settle, you go get a haircut. I mean, maybe it's a bad analogy, but I'm giving it anyway. You got a bad haircut. You didn't like it the one time. So you don't go back to that person. You try a different person. It's the same thing in yoga. You mean try different studios. I've known students that they've gone to one studio for the 1 year. That's it. And they've never tried any other practice. Hey, that's great if they're enjoying it. But I also say sometimes it's just interesting to try something else. Go to a different studio. Whenever I travel, I love to take yoga wherever I am. And mainly because I like to try a different teacher. Only in the thought that I could pick up something new. Just the littlest, teeniest thing might be something. One little thing that I can walk away and say, I never thought of that before. And that's part of yoga. It's the whole learning. Mm-hmm. Learning the practice, but also, yeah, some very wise words can be spoken.
But that, you know, what a great attitude that you have. And I have benefited so much because I recently have altered my tendencies. And I realized I have this tendency to, when I find something I like, whether it's food, you know, food that fits my health goals and whatever, I eat the same thing over and over and over again. And then, you know, I'm in a rut and I do the same type of training. I get on a kick where I'm doing this at home. And I just started to get, even when I would go out for sushi, order the same roll every single time. And my man friend can witness this because we'll go out and I'm like, you know what? I would normally always go for the cheeseburger. I'm going to get something different. I'm going to try something. I'm going to go for fish tacos. Life is better with diversity. So mix it up. But also back to what you said, and I'm glad you said it. You know, you said, somebody will look at you and go, you only do yoga. Good for you that you found that is what challenges you.
Yep.
It works for you. And it doesn't matter if that's all you want to do, and I don't even like to say that word, all,
right,
then that's awesome. And you know what? The fact that I right now at this phase in my life really like diversity, that's my choice. And that's what works for me. What works for me is what feels good, benefits my body, improves my body. I'm treating my body like a temple, and I don't need to explain myself to anyone else. The more that we can all become self-aware and self-confident in our choices, that alone is something we should all strive for, because that's going to decrease stress rather than I used to worry about, I don't want to tell anybody that I still like kickboxing because they'll yell at me, not high intensity interval training. You know what? I like Taibo. Get over it. And once in a while, I put in one of my old Taibo DVDs, and guess what, you guys? I'll do an hour of Taibo. Oh my God, it's not high intensity interval training. It's not at 20 minutes.
Because you're listening to what works for you. And I think that's, you know, to come full circle in this conversation, is that that's what's important. You know, we're talking about yoga. And obviously, I'm here as somebody who is a huge advocate for it. I've been doing it for almost 20 years. And I'm probably for the last 17 of them only yoga. I mean, of course, if somebody wanted to go for a hike, I'd go for a hike, or I'd go for a walk. But I don't think I've taken a spin class in God knows how long. I have no desire to, but everybody's different, and it's finding what works for you, but being open to it. So for those of you who haven't tried a yoga class, maybe you give it a try, or you tried one and it didn't, you hated it. Okay, it's been a while. Maybe you try another, or maybe you're saying to yourself right now, you know what? I'm not at all interested in yoga, and that's okay too. Exactly. There shouldn't be any judgment as long as you're doing something that keeps your body feeling good. Yep. Off the couch.
I challenge you, whether it's this or something else, try something new. Look at fitness and getting healthy and getting in better shape, whatever that looks like, as an adventure. And I know that might sound hokey, but that's my life. I look at life and the things I want to try with the wonder of a child. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I want to try this. Oh, I want to go to a UFC gym. Oh, that would be fun. I'm going to do it. And now the things that I used to automatically write off and say, oh, I can't, I could never do that. I can't do pull-ups. Now I'm like, you know what? I'm 49 years old and I bet you I can. And you amaze yourself. Yes. And if you have kids, they're watching you. Why not show them that? You know what breaks my heart the most is when I see, and I saw this first in Chicago, I was going to it was like a training facility where parents would bring their kids to have them work out and train for baseball and basketball. And they had this area and it was like a bar and a bunch of cushy chairs. And I looked at the menu and they had TVs in there and it was like nachos, a typical sports bar. And right. I said to the guy I was talking to, I'm like, well, what's this for? He goes, oh, that's where the parents go when the kids come here to train and work out. I'm like, why don't the parents train with the kids? And and I looked around then when the parents, and let me be real, most of those parents really should be doing some better eating.
Of course they should.
It was so sad. And I thought, why?
Right. No, it's great. You'll love this. I already bought my 3-year-old granddaughter has her own yoga mat. Okay. And she already, I'm introduced, she loves it. She goes into downward facing dog in 2 seconds. So awesome. It's, you know, starting young, encouraging it and doing it as a family. I mean, hey, I think it's amazing. I think it's part of what we should be doing for our children.
I can't believe you have a granddaughter.
I do.
You just floored me.
And I can do handstands in the middle of the room. There you go, people. You never know.
That's awesome. As usual, I could talk to you for hours, but I mean, this is exactly what I wanted to do, is have just a really casual, I want to have lots of people on the show. Some that do just, as you said, all you do is yoga. Some that, you know, it's part of an overall training routine, but just to be able to hear different voices of, hey, this is why it works for me, or this is what it's done for me. I mean, there are some extreme cases. I think one of the most amazing books I read was Yoga Warrior. I think that's what it's called, or maybe it's Warrior Pose. I think it might be called Warrior Pose. And it's about this gentleman who was in the media industry for quite a long time, traveled, had a horrible, horrible back problem, debilitating, and was on opioids, if I'm correct. And long story short, found yoga because he felt like he had no choice. And it just transformed his whole life.
Yeah, there's many stories like that. It's incredible.
Yeah, there's stories like that. And then there's people, you know, I'm just an average person, but I can tell you what, yoga, it transforms me. When I have more yoga, I'm a better person. I really am. When I have less yoga, I get back into that type A, like I need coffee all the time, whatever. So hopefully this was helpful to dispel some stereotypes and help those of you that were maybe kicking the tires around yoga realize, you know, you don't have to be a kale eating, water drinking, no deodorant wearing freak.
Exactly.
But not, those of you that love that, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said you're a freak. You get your freak on, fly that freak flag proudly.
Whatever works.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, I'm probably going to have a cheeseburger today. So I'm just putting that out there. But Carrie, thank you so much for being back on the show.
Always my pleasure, really.
Carrie, we will link up to your site and everything in the notes, but where can people find you online so they can follow you on Instagram? Because your Instagram is amazing.
Instagram, all on social, it's just Carrie Gans, my name, K-E-R-I-G-A-N-S. And my website is Carrie Gans NY.
Awesome.
I need to see you in person one of these days.
I know. I for sure will be in New York. I was supposed to be there last month, but we'll touch base on that and I'll text you after. For everybody listening, you know, if you have any questions for us that we can pass on to Carrie, of course, we encourage you to connect with her directly on her website and on Instagram. But if you have any questions in general on yoga, things that we're going to be covering, things that might intimidate you about yoga, that's what we want to do with our show and with everything we do on the FitFluential platforms. Email us, podcast@fitfluential.com. You can also use that same email address if you're interested in sponsorship opportunities on the show, or if you're interested in recommending somebody that we should interview on the show in the future. So for right now, thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you next time on FitFluential Radio.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.